Okay, welcome everybody. This is the second Ask John show for the new you in the new year. We spoke a lot about digestion this week. It would be great to take questions about that and also any other questions that you have as you're going through this. Remember, the most important part, once again, is following the action steps that are lined out each week, because at the end of the day, once the 5 weeks are up, what you're going to have is a series of habits in place, and those habits are hopefully going to last you a lifetime and are going to change your life forever and get you to a point where you're sustainably fit. That's the idea, and healthy in so many different ways in a mind-body perspective. If you want to speak to me, just press 1, and and Shannon will screen your call, and we'll pass you through. We have one caller that's being screened right now, and Danilay's got a whole bunch of questions for us. So we're going to bring Den in first and start taking some of those questions.
Hi, John.
Hi, Den.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hi. Okay, yes. Pamela's asked, and I've actually requested that she try and call in, so I'm hoping she will call in. Could John talk about vegan forms of protein that will work well with the body's digestive system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, also, any other considerations, modifications for diet that should be addressed for vegan supplements, etc. Thank you.
Yeah. So the risk of being a vegan. I'm just going to move this away. So the risk of being a vegan is that you don't get enough protein and you don't get enough essential nutrients that you would otherwise get from meat, and you end up eating starches all the time, and that's a disaster. And then you just keep staying hungry for the things that you need, and you just keep eating more and more starches. So if you do it wrong and you eat a high starch, low protein diet, it is a disaster. And there's a huge difference when you're a vegan between being a raw food vegan and just a vegan. And I remember I've told this story once or twice, but last year when I was in New York, I always go to raw food restaurants. When you go to raw food restaurants, the people, they're glowing in the dark. They're just bursting with vitality. Their eyes are glowing. They're fit. They're healthy. They're energetic. They're full of life. And most of what they eat is raw. Now, if you're eating raw, it means you're not eating a high starch diet per se. You're not eating grains or refined sugars or deep fried, battered foods, dead, lifeless foods. There is still an issue of whether or not you're getting enough protein if you're a raw food vegan. But aside from that, you're super, super healthy. I also went to just a regular vegan restaurant, which was not a raw food restaurant, and there was almost nothing I could eat on the menu. Everything was deep fried tofu, deep-fried potatoes and sweet potatoes, you know, tempura vegetables. The people looked really unhealthy. They were overweight, a lot of them, and their eyes were sagging and their energy was low. And then you get, and I lived this way. I was what I call a dysfunctional vegan for 7 years, and I gained 150 pounds during that time period, just craving sweets all the time because I wasn't getting the things that I needed. So the first thing I want to say about being a vegan is, if you're going to be a vegan, be raw as much as possible. Grains and starches just don't work for people in general, but especially for vegans, because there's this tendency to eat more and more and crave more and more of the grains and starches because you're not getting what you really need. Have lots of green juices. Green juices have lots of trace minerals and vitamins that you would otherwise get from meat in a very assimilatable form. So have lots of green juices, have lots of sprouts. Sprouts are a good way to get protein. Bean sprouts. So as opposed to having things like dal, which is just a very starchy, pasty beans, dead cooked type of food, have the beans as sprouts. When they're sprouted, they don't have the starch anymore because the sprout eats the starch. They're more digestible. They've got all the healthy enzymes and and friendly bacteria and nutrients that you need. So have them as sprouts. So chickpeas, have them as chickpea sprouts. And mung beans, have them as mung bean sprouts. So sometimes when I have a salad, I'll have a cupful of chickpea and mung bean sprouts on top of the salad. I don't normally recommend soy products, but organic tempeh is not a bad soy product. Soy product like soy milk and tofu elevate your estrogen levels, interfere with digestion, and if they're not organic, they're very heavily genetically modified. So they're a real problem. But tempeh, if it's organic, is a good source of protein and omega-3s. So tempeh is good to have a salad. So if you're having a salad, have lots of mung bean or chickpea or lentil sprouts and tempeh, and you're going to get some good protein. I recommend a fermented raw vegan protein powder, such as Garden of Life's probably the best. All protein powders bother my stomach, and my digestion is very sensitive. Garden of Life products in general are really good for digestion. So they've got their raw fermented protein powder. That's probably, in my opinion, that's probably the best protein powder. Have it when you're having, you know, a salad with lots of sprouts and tempeh and maybe some chia seed oil and balsamic vinegar and all that kind of stuff. You know, large quantity of food. Have a little shake of protein shake. It could just be the protein powder and water in a little glass. So you get 10, 20, 30 grams of protein with a meal. That would work really, really well. So if you're doing that and you're having lots of green juices, you will glow in the dark from health. If most of your food is live and the protein's coming from those type of sources, you will glow in the dark from health and vitality. If you do it the other way, where everything is pizza and rice and breads and dals and chapatis and tempura vegetables, if you do it that way, you're going to have a lot of problems with both health and weight. So really, really good questions, good points. I always tell people I eat animal protein. Aside from that, I eat mostly raw, except for vegetables like the brassica, I think they're called brassicas. I always get this word wrong. The cauliflowers, the Brussels sprouts, and the broccolis. All those I, you know, steam or saute, onions. I steam saute. I have a lot of steam sauteed vegetables with things. But I eat animal protein, which is cooked. But other than that, most of my food is raw. So I always tell people I'm a raw food vegan. They eat chicken, meat, and fish, because that to me is the ideal diet, which is really just a real food diet more than anything. So Dan, we actually have lots of callers at this point. So I might have to go in and start taking some of these callers, and then I can bring you in afterwards if you want. Okay, thanks. So let's bring in Susan from Manchester, UK. Very late at night.
Hi, John.
Hi, Susan. How are you? It must be the middle of the night for you. Yeah? What is it, 2 in the morning?
It's after midnight. I've stayed up specially.
Okay, I feel honored. Thank you.
It's just gone midnight, so it could be worse. But thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I just wanted to ask, I've just started following your program and trying to do everything. Just a bit of background, really. I've had lupus, which I'm sure you know is an autoimmune disease, for 25 years now.
Yeah.
And so much so that a few weeks ago I was medically retired from work, being unfit to carry on, really. I've always been overweight to various degrees all my life, and it's become harder and harder to lose weight over time. And I actually had my metabolic rate measured a couple of years ago when they told me it was only 1,200, which is, of course, very low. And I'm very limited in the amount of exercise I can do because of the illness.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, you know, with following your program, I know it's not as simple as calories in and calories out.
No, it's not.
But is it likely that I'll still be able to lose weight knowing that I've got such a low metabolic rate?
Yeah, the metabolic rate is, let me stop you. The metabolic rate is meaningless in the sense that your body can change its metabolic rate when it's healthy. So it's not something that's written in stone. You don't get stamped when you're born with a metabolic rate. Your body can turn the metabolic rate up and on like a dimmer switch. That's not an issue. In my approach, you will be doing things that you haven't done in other weight approaches, which very likely could affect, in a positive way, your autoimmune issues. Because my experience, and this has just happened sort of by accident, I've dealt with lots of people with lupus and other autoimmune issues, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and I've found by accident that the approach that I'm taking helps the autoimmune deficiency, also Hashimoto's disease, lots of different things. And the reason is because autoimmune deficiencies and diseases in general stem typically from two different sources, and that is from digestive issues, because when your digestion is impaired, it affects your immune system, and by emotional issues. When you've had emotional trauma, it can cause the immune system to become totally overwhelmed. And we work on emotional trauma, and we work on digestion issues very extensively. So simply by focusing on digestion and working through emotional trauma and working through digestion, it's very possible. You know, the other thing about autoimmune diseases is you go to a doctor and they say it's incurable, right? But that really, what incurable means is that the doctor doesn't know how to cure it. That's what incurable means, and that means that the protocols that they use do not work to cure something. That's what incurable means. Nothing is incurable, because you hear of people being cured of cancer, Hashimoto's disease, chronic fatigue, lupus, all of these different things, MS, all of these different things, through protocols and approaches that are not traditionally medical. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't listen to your doctor, but he's probably not going to tell you to place as much emphasis on healing your digestion and working through emotional issues as I am. And those are the things that are not being done from a medical perspective, and also not being done typically from a weight perspective, and it's one and the same. These same issues cause weight problems, yeah. And they cause autoimmune issues. So I want you to pay really close attention to both digestion, which we talked about extensively this week, and to the emotional, yeah. And to working through emotional issues, which we're going to talk about next week. And those two are a very powerful combination. And yes, those are things that you will not be doing in other weight loss or medical protocols, which can help both the lupus and the weight.
Oh, that's great to know. Thank you. I think probably I've got adrenal fatigue as well, although sure. That's not recognized as a diagnosis in this country.
Sure. Sure. So, yeah.
To know for sure.
Sure, but everything we're talking about applies to everything I talk about digestion and working through emotional issues applies to all of those, the adrenal fatigue, the lupus, and the weight.
Oh, that's great. Healing, okay, thanks very much then.
You're welcome. Healing the body from the root causes is healing the body, and all the different manifestations of ill health get affected and in a positive way as a result. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you for that.
My pleasure. Get some sleep, and thanks for staying up.
I'm going to go now. I'll listen to the rest on the catch-up.
Excellent. Okay, take
care.
Thank
you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, so now we have Kelly from Ontario calling.
Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly.
Perhaps there's going to be a theme tonight, but I was diagnosed this afternoon, actually, with Sickle disease, which is similar to Sjögren's, and I also have Hashimoto's, so I am also dealing with autoimmunity. So my question is this. So my understanding of a method is when our body thinks we're in a starvation due to maybe lack of nutrients, perhaps low calorie intake, or maybe an absence of a substance, it will go into a fat storage mode. So when I discussed it with the physician today, and I also have met with a naturopathic doctor, they suggested, you know, maybe going towards sort of a paleo diet.
Sure.
So my question is this. If I'm starting to remove grains, I have really high cravings for chocolate. I eat a lot of chocolate, and so I don't know if it's more of a caffeine or a sugar. If I'm starting to remove these, I feel like, am I going to be counterintuitive that my body's going to think I'm now, because I'm missing it, I'm going to go into starvation mode or fat storage mode, and it's going to sort of counterintuitive what I'm trying to work with you here.
Yeah. So it's a great question. And what you need to understand is that there are many different pieces to the puzzle that can cause people to gain weight. So what you defined about the calorie restriction and the starvation is one piece of the puzzle. Another piece of the puzzle, and a really important one for you, might be something like leaky gut syndrome. So if you've got leaky gut syndrome, you are having an autoimmune problem because your immune system's getting totally overwhelmed trying to fight all the toxins that are leaking into your bloodstream. And it's causing a low-grade chronic inflammatory response, which is elevating your inflammatory hormones, which is then causing the fat programs to be activated. Do you understand?
Yes.
So in your case, the fat programs may be activated not because of calorie restriction or these type of things, but because of the low-grade inflammation, which is the same thing that would happen if you were in a famine. In other words, you got to trace the hormones back to their roots. So you can get into a chronic low-grade inflammatory situation from a lot of different stresses. One of them could be leaky gut. And it sounds to me like leaky gut is a huge thing, probably a huge thing for you. That's just my guess. And that would cause all the autoimmune diseases and problems that you're talking about, and it would cause the weight gain. So I wouldn't be too concerned. I would find healthier chocolates. I have lots of recipe videos and out there, and there are others out there about how to make raw chocolate. So I would look to make or buy raw chocolate for now, and then go in that direction of that paleo thing. But eat lots of live greens too. That's really, really important. Not just don't eat. You know, everybody focuses on what not to eat, and yeah, lots of things you shouldn't eat. I focus on what to eat because my experience is the more you focus on what to eat, the less you're going to want to eat the things that you shouldn't eat, because the healthier your system is, the more it's going to fight to keep that health. When your system's unhealthy, it's going to fight to keep that. So keep the focus on adding healthier and healthier, and don't worry too much about the starvation thing from the avoiding the grains, because I don't think that's your problem. I think your problem is chronic low-grade inflammation. And the reason I say that is because you have immune issues. So healing that is more important than worrying about if you're in a famine response. Do you understand?
Yes, and I totally resonate with the inflammatory and the leaky gut.
Yeah.
And I've tried this before, but I've such huge cravings, and even I can go to the gym and finish, and when I come back to work at lunch, I have huge cravings then, especially around 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Sure.
So I really struggle
with
the ability to maintain. I call it discipline.
Yeah, it's
and
not discipline.
I'm having so in theory.
It's not discipline. It's not discipline. It's keeping your blood. It's getting your body to the point where it can keep its blood sugar stable for healthy reasons. So the first thing I would say is, you got to recognize when you're having your low blood sugar episodes, and it's all from inflammation. You got to heal inflammation. So anything that you're eating should be anti-inflammatory, and foods are either inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. They're never in between. They're one or the other. So anti-inflammatory foods are typically all real live greens, things like turmeric. The paleo diet, for the most part, is anti-inflammatory. Taking digestive enzymes and probiotics, and bone broth, and fermented foods, and sprouts, and green juices, all these things are anti-inflammatory. Just keep focusing on these things. But if you recognize that typically at 3 o'clock you've got sugar cravings, have something at 2:30. So you need to be proactive for now. Just for now. All this is going to go away once you heal the problem. So there is a very big problem here that has not been healed, but it will be healed. If we work over time, hopefully we'll get to the place where it'll be healed. And if it is, your sugar cravings will go away, and you won't need discipline anymore. But the discipline should be in focusing on healing right now. So that means eating as many anti-inflammatory foods and healing your digestion and healing your liver as much as possible. I would have a snack a half an hour before you typically get sugar cravings. So if it's 3 o'clock, have a snack at 2:30. Maybe listen to a visualization, go for a walk, and have a snack at 2:30. But be proactive to make sure your blood sugar doesn't fall too low. For now, you won't have to do this forever, but for now, until the problem goes away. Okay?
All right. Perfect.
Find some raw chocolates and some healthy snacks to snack on too, okay?
Awesome. Thank you for all you do.
You're welcome. And I'll just say one more thing. I've been recently looking at different little energy bars, and most of them are just real chemical waste. I mean, a lot of times you take look at the typical protein or energy bars at like a typical vitamin store, and you know, you read it's like if you were to take the dust from the floor of a chemical laboratory and then wrap it in gum and dip it in artificial chocolate. I think that's what it would end up tasting like, and it'd probably be just as good for you. But there are some that are pretty good, and there's been recently I saw some paleo ones that are just, they're nuts like almonds and Brazil nuts, and they're sweetened with apricots. And I've never seen this before. They're usually sweetened with dates, which is still very high in sugar, but apricots are not nearly as high in sugar as dates. And I like that, and they tasted really good. So keep an eye out for like the paleo snack bars that have like a nice, they're usually just nuts, and if you can get them, they're just nuts and apricots, that's not bad. So that's a nice one to carry around with you.
Awesome. I'll take a look for them.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome. Let's talk to Robin in Georgia, please.
Hi, John. I am struggling to implement the suggestions that you're making with the action steps each week.
Uh-huh.
Part of it, I think, is because I've tried and failed at so many other plans in the past.
Sure.
Even just to try to do only the evening visualization every night, probably about hitting about 30% of the time doing
sure.
that.
Sure.
So I have two questions. One is if you can help with how to do just one thing
yeah.
when you're not being successful with doing just one.
Yeah.
And then if there's a way to prioritize once I get that one under my belt,
yeah.
what would be the next two or three things that I should do?
That's exactly what we need to do. What you just outlined is exactly what I would want to do. I would want to target the most important thing and get that to the point where it's happening every day and then build from there. That's exactly the what I would want to do. Now, this sounds to me like the evening visualization is a little bit of a challenge. You're trying to get that to be consistent and it's not happening. I want to explore the morning visualization for a second. So typically when it comes to habits, they say that if you're doing something first thing in the morning, it's more likely to stick as a habit. That's why a lot of people talk about exercising first thing in the morning, because if you're exercising at night, by the time you get home, you might be late, you might be exhausted, you got into a fight with your spouse, hard day at work, a TV show, kids are crying, and you just don't end up doing it. You know what I mean? But if it's the first thing you do as soon as you wake up, it's much more likely to be a habit. So, but now with the morning visualization, it requires some structure to create it as a habit, and then it becomes a habit. But if you don't do that structure, it's actually hard to become a habit. So an example of not doing the structure for the morning visualization would be waking up in the morning and saying, oh, I got to do my morning visualization, looking around for the MP3 player. Where's the MP3 player? Where is the headphones? Where am I going to sit? What am I going to listen to? Oh, while you're doing that, you just checked Facebook, and then you saw your email, and somebody got upset about something that happened last night while you were sleeping. You got to take care of that first. Before you know it, you got to get ready for work, or you got to make the breakfast for kids, and you didn't do it. You're following me?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So that's an example of how it won't become a habit. An example of how it will become a habit is this. You have a seat in your bedroom, in your study, wherever it is, and everything is there. So the headphones are there if you're listening with headphones, the computer's lined up if you're listening with a computer, the MP3. However you're listening to the visualization, what you do is you wake up, and before you check Facebook, before you know your name, before you know anything, you just wake up and press play because it's all lined up. Now, if you can do that,
okay.
that will become a habit. And before you know it, they're 7 to 10 minute visualizations, most of them. So before you know it, 5 minutes have gone by before you even have to think about it. And don't even listen to the visualization. So, okay, there's a ball of light. I'm supposed to imagine a ball of light. Don't imagine a ball of light. I got to imagine the wave melting off my body. Don't imagine it. Just sit there and press play and let the 5 minutes go by. And by the time 5 minutes go by, you're in a deep state, because when you just wake up, you're already in the alpha-theta state. So you might as well, it's like you're trafficking on getting into a state that otherwise would be hard to get into. You might as well draft off of that, basically. So you're 5 minutes into it, all of a sudden you're actually able to concentrate a little, and you can imagine yourself having a good day and the weight melting off. And just that is going to change your life. Just that extra, the last 2 minutes there, where you're imagining your day and whatever, that's going to change your life. And all the other habits will come from that. So I would want to prioritize that's what you do. And the way you do it is twofold. One is you have it all set up for first thing in the morning. And then as you're going to sleep, you just imagine yourself waking up in the morning and before you even know anything, pressing play and listening. So those are the two things that I'd want you to do, and nothing else. And then let all of the positive suggestions organically start to materialize in your life. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And it does seem like it would be easier to do it starting first thing in the
yeah.
morning than what I've been trying to do, which yeah. was to do the evening one.
Right. And
sometimes I'm just too tired.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget.
Exactly.
Sometimes I just don't care.
Screw it. You know, exactly. I'm totally there with you. But in order to make this a habit, you need setup. So there has to be an area. Hopefully, you only have to set it up once. You know, there's got to be a chair and some headphones, and you're set. But you have an area that's set up to be successful. Really, just that's really what you have to do. So that in the morning, all you do is press a button, and then the one thing I'd add to that is as you're going to sleep at night, you imagine yourself in the morning waking up and pressing that button, getting up, sitting down, pressing that button. Can you do? Those are the things that I want you to do.
Okay, that sounds great. Now, once I have that sort of under my belt,
yeah.
what would be step two?
Yeah, so step two would be whenever you're eating, to add as much real food as possible. So,
okay.
So that means you're at a pizza place, whatever, have a huge salad with your pizza. As a matter of fact, put the pizza toppings on top of the salad if you can. Just keep imagining that the only thing that exists is non-man-made food, because the reality is that's all that should exist, because that's all, as far as our body's concerned, that's all our body wants and needs. And we lived for zillions of years on non-man-made food. So imagine that there's no, that all there is real food, and wherever you are, incorporate that into your life. So just eat as much real food as possible. Okay?
Okay.
Cool.
Perfect. Thank
all
you.
Right. Thanks. Okay. We've got is Anne at Palo Alto? Is that right, Anne? Anne?
Yeah.
Anne. Sorry.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hi, Anne.
Hi. I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
One, like you, I lived and worked in New York City in a really high-stress,
yeah,
backstabbing, competitive job,
yeah,
and it lasted for 30 years.
Wow. My heart goes out to you.
So, what?
I said my heart goes out to you. My heart goes out to you.
Yeah. Well, the bad thing is it was fun. And so now I'm in California, and I've, retired and everything,
yeah,
and I find myself sort of creating this addiction to,
yeah,
stress. It, comes in. It's like, oh, I'm late for something.
Yeah.
And then my body goes into this huge knee-jerk adrenaline reaction,
yeah,
which is, on one hand, I'm trying to, you know, not be addicted to it, and on the other hand, it's like, oh, cool, a rush.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You know, and I've been doing the visualizations, and they work really well,
yeah,
for me. That's good. But I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on being addicted to stress.
Well, it's a real addiction in the sense that anything you do as a habit starts, you develop neural networks in your brain, and those neural networks get reinforced and reinforced and reinforced. So absolutely, stress is a habit, but visualization can be a habit too, and then you develop neural networks toward feeling calm and relaxed. And of course, I've been on both sides of that too, but I'm curious as to how it affects you from a weight perspective. So what's your weight situation?
Oh, God, well, you know, it's like yours was.
Okay.
It's coming, but I've lost, you know, I moved back to California, so I've lost weight, but of course, I've been obsessively exercising.
Okay.
And the compulsively exercising.
Yeah,
but it's, and that I find fun. But the, and then of course my health is, you know, I have diabetes, and at one point I had cancer, and at one point
I gotcha.
You know, I have Graves' disease.
And how about sleep apnea? Do you have sleep apnea?
You know, I don't know. I've got an appointment. I made an appointment with the doctor, so we'll find out.
All right, that's an important one.
I do snore.
Yeah, so, all right, so you're going to do really well, by the way. I just want you to know, let me just stop, okay? and just put everything in perspective and say that you are going to do really well in the situation that you're in right now. I can see this. If you're already starting to lose weight and you haven't been checked for sleep apnea yet and there's a good chance that you have it and then you get your sleep apnea taken care of and now you're doing these visualizations, it's only going to get easier for you. You may not lose weight every single day and you may go even months without losing weight, but what will happen is you'll lose 10 or 20 pounds, and then you might stay stable for a week, 2 weeks, it could be a month, 2 months, and then boom, another 10, 20, 30 pounds. You're going to lose weight like steps and quantum leaps. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So don't weigh yourself every day, and don't stress out if you've gone a long time without losing weight. Don't overtrain with the exercise either. You need 3 solid rest days. I'm happy for you to go crazy in the gym on your exercise days. So you have exercise days and rest days, but you need solid rest days. Otherwise, that will work against you. Okay?
I'm pretty good at laying around.
No, but you need.
I'm pretty good at laying around on the weekend.
No. All right. So you do no exercise on the weekends. Is that right?
I do not exercise on the weekends,
let me stop you. This is so important, okay, because I know your personality. Like I said, we used to, you know, we were the same world. Believe it or not, you will get more, your weight loss will be more sustainable and your health will be improved if you also take Wednesdays off.
Okay.
Okay, so Wednesday's a rest day too.
All right.
Okay?
It's a deal.
Okay, good. So Wednesday's a rest day. Now, if you can hook up with a meditation group in your area, you know, where every morning, every evening, twice a week, three times, whatever it is, that would be fabulous for you. Or some Tai Chi or Qi Kung, anything, yoga, anything that's going to, you know, get that flow and that calmness, and you'll create a habit to that. But even if you don't do that, the visualizations that you're doing are really going to work really, really well for you. You want to also do all the things we talked about in terms of healing digestion this week and eating more real foods. You're going to do well. As I'm talking to you, I can feel the stress. It's like you're in a decompression chamber. You know, yeah, you're still going to react, go crazy if you can't find your car keys or something, but you're in an area that can absorb that. You know what I mean? It's not bouncing back at you.
Yeah.
So
my second question on the real food department.
Yeah.
I had my gallbladder out in August, and still I can't seem to tolerate vegetables.
Yeah. Well, that
they just blow through me. Like,
yeah. So you need to with every single meal, and this is important. But with every single meal, you have to take a digestive enzyme with bile. The digestive enzyme has to have bile, and you have to take it with every meal.
Okay. Done.
Let's give this some time and relax. Do some meditation. Get some like massages. Like the best thing in the world for you would be regular massages. Believe it or not, I know it sounds crazy, but it is. Anything that can relax you.
No, I get it.
You know what I'm talking about. Okay, good. So you're in a good place. Obviously, you've had some challenges, but going forward, there's a really good chance that you're on the road to sustainable health and weight loss. So I'm happy about that.
Oh, good. Yay.
Cool.
Thank you.
Let's talk soon.
Okay, thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's talk to Florence in Toronto, please. Is there a Florence? Florence?
Hello?
Hi, Florence.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
My challenge, you know, let me see. First, I want to say with the green juice, when I think you answered my question last time, you know, drop the apples and instantly I don't have that sugar craving. I used to, make my green juice with apples. And
the sugar craving's gone away. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Yep. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's nice when the advice works, you know? I'm always surprised. I'm just kidding. No, that's great. That's really good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, I'm not, of course, I'll get used to it, I know, but I'm certainly not enjoying my green juices
you
as
will,
it was.
Okay, so here's my new thing I want to talk about. Just stay with me for a second. I'm going to do a 30-second rant here.
Okay.
But I remember talking about this in the last class, and I think I'm going to do a video blog about this for my support group, but what I'm learning about the system, so our body's a system, you know, and inside the system is 70 trillion cells and 500 billion bacteria, and they all have the ability to affect our hormones, and they all have DNA, and we're housing that. And what I'm learning is that if you're doing a lot of things that are unhealthy, if you have an unhealthy lifestyle, you're doing drugs, you're drinking, you're smoking, you're eating junk foods, all these things, you're going to develop an internal system of bacteria and DNA expression that's going to favor dishealth. So anything that you do that you introduce that's healthy, whether it's taking more probiotics or healthier green juices or whatever it is, your system's going to rebel to that because it's actually a threat to the system that you're housing. Think about that for a second. So you're housing a system of hundreds of trillions of living organisms, and the ones that you're housing are not going to like that because they thrive off of ill health. So you have cultivated a system, not you per se, but one, and we all have gone through this, we've cultivated a system of ill living organisms inside us that's ill health. And that ill health is going to rebel to anything healthy. Now, when you go through the process, just as you're doing now, of having a healthier green juice, there's the rebellion. Having probiotics is very typically a rebellion in your stomach, in your intestines. Anything we do healthy, there's going to be a rebellion in the beginning until the internal environment of living organisms that comprises your physicalness is changed to health. But once it's changed to health, it rejects unhealth. So I don't have to worry about resisting having a McDonald's milkshake, you know, whereas maybe once I did, quite frankly, I don't have to worry about that. There is zero chance of a McDonald's milkshake going into this body by my own design and by my own will, because the whole system would rebel. The system's rebel now against fried food, where it didn't always rebel against, you know, deep fried or battered foods. The system rebels against grains. It rebels against processed sugars. It rebels against cigarettes, when I once smoked as a kid. And the point is, you have to go through this process of introducing healthier things, letting your internal environment change so that you're housing friendlier living organisms, and then it's easy because then you're in a situation where everything's craving health. Once you get to that point, it's amazing, and that's what you're doing right now. And that's my rant, and that's my new thing. But keep that in mind as you're going through the day and you're making these changes, that you are cultivating a system, an ecosystem of living organisms right now, that you're trying to get healthier. That's really what you're trying to do. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And it's wonderful to see the changes, you know, because I was confused.
Yeah.
You know, I'm drinking this green juice and, you know, like, it was like clockwork. 20 minutes after it, you know,
you
I would want something sweet.
Sugar. And now then you don't. Yeah.
Now it doesn't happen. Yeah, so that feels good. And
that's great.
The other thing is, you know, I feel it's nice to notice that. And
that's great.
And I guess, so, you know, as I said, I'm not as quick to drink my green, but I'll get used to that.
But you will be. You will be. I can suck down five of those a day these days, you know, if they're in there. I hate making them, to be honest. If they're in my fridge, I'll suck down five of those in a day. Five, you know. I won't stop. There's nothing inside me that rebels to that. Everything goes, that's what I'm after. So you get I think in the last class, the first time I had wheatgrass juice when I was in New York, they had to carry me out of the place, you know, because my kidneys seized, my back seized. My whole body rejected that. I said, no, we're not doing that. You know, it's almost like the new kid in class that's a really nice kid, but nobody likes the new kid, and there's a bunch of gangs, and they're all in the class, and they're all rebelling. But eventually, the new kid wins over other friends and is nice, and they're kind of in charge.
I like it.
You know what I mean? That's sort of what we're doing here. But the other thing to realize is, you know, the worst case scenario is you think you're doing something that's healthy for you, and it turns out it's not. So you were having a green juice with apple that was causing sugar cravings. So you got a double whammy there, where the apple's causing a problem because, like I say, you can eat apples, but you can't juice them. And then it's causing the sugar craving, and all that's going away. So little by little, you're through education and practice, you're getting to a place where your body's naturally starting to sort out the health issues, which is cool.
Which is wonderful. My question is, I'm noticing a lot of change. It's exciting. It's easy for me to do the nighttime visualization. The mornings are hard. You know, the rest of the day seems challenging, but I'm getting my two glasses of water in the morning with lemon. And, you know, I start off okay, but I'm so afraid of the caffeine withdrawal headaches, you know.
Yeah.
Like I'm still drinking coffee.
Drink organic coffee if you can. Okay.
Organic, okay.
Make it organic.
And will that go away? And then wean off? I'm so afraid of the headache. You know, I've done it before and I have vicious headaches.
Sure. Let's go slow with that, okay? So keep upping the juices and have organic coffee, and maybe start to trade one coffee for an herbal tea or something. Let's play with that, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's just go real slow with that.
Go slow with that? Okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, what do you think of just like I've been, you know, hearing mono meals, like when you talk about putting your protein on top of a salad. You know, what if I just had protein and then later when I'm hungry, have the salad rather than together?
No.
Okay.
No. What is this for a food combining issue? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, I've gotten into that. I guess I'm changing habits, but I've gotten into not mixing foods, different.
No. Salad can be mixed with any food. Okay. Salads and sprouts are very digestible, and they have digestive enzymes that help you digest the meat. And some studies have shown that that typically cooked food causes an immune response and an inflammatory response because the body doesn't recognize the food. But when you have it with lots of greens, the body recognizes it as a food and it doesn't have the same immune response.
So it's really a plus to eat them together.
It's crucial. It's really crucial. I eat a lot of animal protein, but I always feel slighted if I don't have a big salad with it. And my system feels totally different.
I thought I was doing good, yeah.
Yeah, my system. So it's a really totally good, different. Really good question. Both really important points. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I love the visualizations and making a difference.
All right. Well, let's keep going.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks.
Take care. Okay. So.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. I think we've got Anja. Is that right, Anya? Anya from Virginia. Anya.
Hi, John. Can you hear me? Yes, it's Anya.
Hi, Anya.
Hello. So I'm super thrilled to talk to you. It's week two. I feel like I'm doing amazing.
Excellent.
You know, I don't skip my visualizations because I just feel like I'm being so good to me.
Excellent.
And I did yoga today for the first time, you know, since I had my boys. They're 4 and 6. I love it. So my question to you is... my weight comes from really eating late for comfort.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been a good real food eater person. And then I've heard you say, you know, have a light dinner, eat lots of food during the day.
Sure.
I do that. And I think as my body gets adjusted, you know, come 9 o'clock and, you know, I drink water, I do my visualization, but I feel like restrictive in that sense, and I don't want to, you know, make my body feel restricted. Is there a snack I could have?
Let me back up for a second.
Digest okay, you know.
Let me get some background from you, Angela. How old are you?
Okay. 42.
Any signs of menopause?
I don't think so.
Okay. No. How much weight are you looking to lose?
I'm 200 pounds now, and I don't know, 150, 135, anything.
Okay. And is your weight stable?
Yeah.
Okay. And is your weight have you been this way for
like
a while?
200 pounds, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with with each kid, 20, 30 pounds, it comes off.
Right,
but then breastfeeding, I just couldn't get enough energy.
Right.
End up gaining weight eating nuts and fruit. And
yeah,
things.
So that nighttime craving that you have, I used to have that too. I don't have it anymore, and it goes away. What it is it's a stress. It's part of a stress response. When you're overworked, when you're overstressed, sometimes your stress hormones. Cortisol is a stress hormone we talk about all the time. Cortisol has a daily rhythm. So typically, your cortisol levels are supposed to be high in the morning and low at night. And your hunger will follow that. So that's why you're supposed to be hungry in the morning and not hungry at night. But when you're under chronic stress, as is really common when you got two young kids and, you know, living a busy life that you are, your cortisol levels, your cortisol daily rhythm reverses so that your cortisol levels are lower in the morning and higher at night. And that's a stress response, and that does go away through doing things like visualization, taking time off. Like one of the best things you personally could do is have time off just to yourself, like a day off just for you, or a couple hours a day just for you, or an afternoon off, these type of things. These things will help you calm down. The visualizations are fabulous for you, but these type of things would be really, really good for you. Are you able to, could you do something like that? Take a day off a week just for you, or an afternoon off, or a couple hours a day?
You know, this program, I have 2 hours to myself. You know, there's no one in here, and it's protected. So I feel exactly, that's exactly. So right on.
Yeah, so that's really important for you. If you could get massages, go for walks, nurturing. If you could just sit for those 2 hours, lie down, and just imagine every cell of your body saying over and over again, I love you, nothing else but doing that, that stress response will start to reverse itself and the nighttime cravings will go away.
So just stick with water and try to work through it and don't really give in to...
Well, I'm not saying not to give in. I'm saying this is a process, okay? So dance with it. If you need to eat,
okay.
It's better to eat things like protein and healthy fats and live greens at night than it is to eat starches and sugars, because the starches and sugars will keep your insulin levels up all night, and you're going to be, and then your body's in fat storage mode all night. So if you can prioritize proteins, live foods, and healthy fats are going to be infinitely better for you at night than starches and sugars. So if there's any way at all while you're going through, you know, like things like chia seed crackers or flaxseed crackers with some dip, like a hummus or something like that, that might be a good thing. But the crackers, those type of crackers don't have any grains in them, so nothing to elevate your insulin levels or cause inflammation, no gluten, those type of things.
And the grains, just leaving those alone, I feel like I could see things, you know. Like you said, there's nothing in the grains, because you think you eat it for energy. Yeah. There's nothing, and I feel so much like I could breathe better.
Yeah, so
anyway,
this issue of nighttime hunger that you're having, I say just dance with it, but focus more. Dance with it means sometimes you eat, sometimes you don't, sometimes you eat something really healthy, sometimes you eat something really bad. Just dance with it for now, okay? Do drink a lot of liquids at night, but focus on having those 2 hours a day for you. I would love for you just to do some visualization, lie down and read a book, and imagine, or just lie there and imagine every cell of your body saying over and over again, "I love you." If you did that, that would solve all your problems.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Enjoy. Let's talk again soon. Okay.
Yes. Thank you so much, John.
Cool. Take care. Okay, so let's talk to Nancy in Goose Creek, South Carolina. Yeah?
Hey, Nancy. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I had a couple of questions that I'll try to get through real quick, because I know people are waiting.
That's okay.
And I want to say that I'm adding the live foods, and of course, for me, this was a lot of money to pay for this, but I need it, and so I did it. But so I'm not going to negate anything that you're saying, obviously. So I'm doing everything, you know, step by step, which is what I need.
Yeah.
I was wondering what you thought about the blood type diet, which I have really good, I mean, felt great on. But I think that may have been, since you were talking about grains with the last caller, I'm wondering if it was just because I did away with wheat.
Are you a type?
But I was drinking dairy.
Are you a type O?
I'm B positive. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I read the blood type diet years ago, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. But the thing is, it didn't apply to me at all. So there was a time, like when I was in college, I'm an A plus, and when I was in college, the A-plus type of diet worked really well for me, but I was also a triathlete, you know, and exercising 2 and 3 hours a day and 20 years old, you know what I mean? So I think anything would work for me back then. But now it doesn't work for me. The typical diet, the perfect diet for me is what he would call the O diet, the older diet. So I don't place as much emphasis on the blood type diet, even though there's some theory there that's logical. It just doesn't seem to work practically. If you gave up grains, you're going to feel amazing. I don't care what type you are. It's just that simple. I am an A+.
Have you ever heard of anyone? Sorry.
I'm an A+, and I'm supposed to be eating grains, and my body hates grains. I mean, I'm going to be exhausted. I'm going to be craving sugar. I'm going to be going down that road, gaining weight, all that stuff. But I don't crave it. You know, so for me, it's the old, and the common denominator in all food is the older the food is, that is, the more natural it is, in terms of our just earth made food, the more it's just naturally earth, fruit, vegetable, animal protein type of thing, the more common it is that everybody can eat that. So I'm not finding that the blood type diet holds true in reality and practice. It just seems like a really good logical theory.
Right. See, I had problems with swollen ankles. Yeah. I mean, for like four or five years now, and that going on that, I mean, my ankles reduced. It was amazing, like an inch and a half each.
But you gave up grains, and grains are very inflammatory.
I did, but I was eating spelt. I made spelt bread.
Okay, well,
at home.
That's less inflammatory.
And okay.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Go ahead. With two teenagers in the house, so that it was really hard to sustain any sort of eating other than, you know, McDonald's and Burger King. So that is going to be my major hurdle here.
Right. So McDonald's and Burger King is
getting hungry.
McDonald's and Burger King is probably not on any blood type diet, actually. You know, so if we can find any alternative to that, I don't care what blood type you are, you're probably gonna benefit from that. So I would just, to play it safe, I would just take a real food approach, and that is, as much as possible, add real foods to your life and to your diet. Even if you're having McDonald's, have a huge, huge salad with it. If you can get some chia seed oil in the dressing or some chia seeds that are soaked on it or something, then great. But have real foods and healthy fats as much as possible, and just keep going in that direction, and recognizing that the more you go in that direction, even though there might be some pushback initially from your body, eventually you get to a place where your body's going to really embrace it.
I think what I was asking for was permission to... feed the kids casseroles and the salad for me. I can't seem to get them enough food to keep them.
No, you got to let the kids. You got to let kids be kids. Sometimes there's no question about it. So let them do their thing. But for you right now, this is about you. This course, and what's going to benefit you is taking an approach of eating as much real food as possible.
Okay, and then the quick second question is, I have a vibration plate in the house, and I really like it, and it makes me feel good. Do you have any opinion on that?
Is that the one? Is that
plate,
the one that
whole body vibration?
Yeah, I love that. I think those things are awesome. Mm-hmm. I really do. I wish I had one. I mean, I probably could get one. I'm just a little bit too lazy to get. They used to have them at the malls there, and they're really, really good for draining your lymph system, which is fabulous for reducing inflammation. Mm-hmm. And also, you can do different types of exercises on it. So, yeah, I'm a big fan. I think they're cool.
Okay, well, that was it. Thank you very much.
Excellent. My pleasure. Okay, that's it for today. We don't have any more callers. I might bring Dan. Is Dan around, Aaron? I might bring Dan in just to ask one or two quick questions. We've got just a few minutes, so, and then I'll try to cover a question or two.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi. I'm glad you put me through, because there's one question from a lady who can't be on the live shows because of the time zone.
Yeah.
So hopefully Erica listens to this replay. But she's asked, this is Erica, I would like to ask whether you think coconut kefir made sometimes with fresh coconut and sometimes with tinned coconut cream when I can't get fresh, does it have as much probiotic as a pill version? Also, what do you think of kombucha with normal tea and sugar? I have a very vinegary kombucha that I made, not much sugar left. Does it have lots of probiotics? Do these probiotics continue to live on in the fridge, or is there a shelf life?
Yeah. So all really good questions. So coconut kefir is great, and yeah, it's got lots of kefir in it, but keep in mind the only type of friendly bacteria that kefir has in it is kefir. Kefir is a specific type of bacteria, and we need lots of different type of bacteria. So taking a probiotic that's full spectrum that has lots of different type of bacteria is advisable in addition to taking the coconut kefir. If you're having tinned coconut, make sure it's organic and it doesn't have any stabilizers in it. Especially, some of them, I think, have something called carrageenan in it, which is really bad for you. So stabilizers are not cool at all, not necessary and not cool. It's really stupid because the stabilizers are in there. So you open up the coconut can and you go, oh, wow, nice, smooth, creamy coconut. I love it. But big deal, you know, whether it's smooth or not. And you're paying for it with the price of health. Before I knew that the stabilizers were bad for you, I remember having organic coconut oil that had stabilizers and saying there's something really wrong here. And then I had organic tinned coconut, not oil, coconut milk that didn't have stabilizers. And so you open it and there's the coconut cream is on the top and the milk's on the bottom. It's not all smooth and creamy, big deal, but it's much healthier for you. So make sure there's no stabilizers. The kombucha, I don't know why you're putting sugar in the kombucha. You don't need that sugar. I need you to understand that. If you're putting sugar in your kombucha tea, that sugar is not for health reasons. So that maybe you're doing it for taste reasons, but not for health reasons. And sugar's a problem. You might want to try some healthy sugar alternatives like stevia, raw honey, coconut palm sugar, maple syrup, and just a little bit. So the sugar's not doing anything for you. The reason you want your kombucha to taste vinegary and not sugary, because if it tastes vinegary, it means that it's eaten up all of the sugar in the kombucha, and that's what the bacteria live on. They live on the sugar. The bacteria will stay there a long time. You might have to top it up periodically with actually putting sugar in the kombucha, but then waiting a week or so for the friendly bacteria to eat the sugar. But from a taste perspective, the kombucha should taste vinegary and not sweet. If it tastes sweet, it's not fully fermented. If it tastes vinegary, there's lots of friendly bacteria in there, and those bacteria will last a long time. Okay? Then we'll take one more question.
Okay. Yes, all right. This is from Tricia, and I know that you spoke to Anne earlier regarding not having a gallbladder, and I apologize, I didn't hear your reply. But Tricia says that people without a gallbladder should be, you mentioned that people without a gallbladder should be taking digestive enzymes all the time. But on that question page, someone said to just take with major meals. Could you clarify, should someone like me with no gallbladder be taking digestive enzymes every time I eat something or just with meals? Thanks.
Well, I'm a little bit confused. What you mean by every time I eat something? You mean, yeah, if you're just having a quick snack, I think you should. Yeah, I think you should take digestive enzymes with bile whenever you eat something. Obviously, don't be fanatical about it. And if you're having just a quick snack, have one versus two. But I'm saying that it's a really important support that you need, and so you should take it as often as possible.
Okay. Thanks, okay. John.
Great. All right, so next week we're going to talk a lot about stress and emotional issues, which, you know, if you think about what we talked about this week, we talked about that how digestion problems cause inflammation and how inflammation causes weight gain. Well, stress and emotional issues also cause inflammation, and inflammation, as we know, causes weight gain. So really what we're doing is we're addressing the hormonal issues that cause inflammation from all different angles. And they're all important, and some apply to you more or less than others, and it's easy to get stuck on one thing, but the digestion issues are really, really important, and next week, as you'll see, the stress and the emotion issues are really, really important too. And again, once again, the action steps are the most important. I love the caller that called in earlier to say, I can't do all the action steps, help me prioritize. If that's your case, reach out to me. Let me help you prioritize your action steps, because creating some kind of action steps out of this course is what's going to lead to permanent, lasting, sustainable health and weight loss. So have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you all real soon. Thanks.